Hello, Cincinnati! Welcome to the second Extra Innings episode of our podcast. Last time we did this, it was fresh off a sweep of the Dodgers at Great American Ballpark. At that time, we said it may or may not be a turning point. Well, as we sit here now, three series later, it sure as heck looks like it was a turning point. The sticks are coming back. The starting pitching's doing great. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the last handful of series and what the Reds are doing right and wrong. So how about that, Redlegs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive. Heated at night. Now is the time. Whoa. Don't try to hide. Whoa. Cause I'm gonna harm you like an animal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Extra Innings episode number 2. The Reds are a little bit of on a roll here. Question is can we actually call this turning a corner or not? They swept the Dodgers. They lost the series to the Cardinals. They did win a game out of it. They should have won that series. They took 2 of 3 from the Cubs. And then as of about an hour ago, they officially swept the Rockies the last 3 games. So that's what? 9 of 12 that they won. And it seems like the hitting is back. So just like we do for all other extra inning episodes, we're going to recap those 4 series, mostly the 3 winning series, and we're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. So why don't you start and give us some of the good that you saw?
Well, I think the good would start with Friedl doing Friedl things. He seems to be the one player that has an attention to detail in all facets of the game, whether it's in the field, at the plate, whether it's working a walk, throwing down a bunt. He seems to be the complete package in that regard, and it's really elevated the play of the remaining players or other players on the team. And then, of course, I think as you've watched, the offense in general has picked up, but I think the two guys that are very critical to this offense, and Spencer Steer and Tyler Stevenson, have done a great job of continuing to improve their offense.
Yep. I think Steer really kind of got out of that funk. He's proven it over these last 4 series. You know, even playing the Rockies, yeah, you could say it's Coors Field. It's the mile. It's up, you know, up in the altitude, so the ball flies out of the park. So, yeah, some of the home runs they had, we'll count that as a Coors Field exception. But outside of that, Steer has been hitting lasers. I mean, these guys, when they're hitting ground balls and line drives. They're not hitting the ball high in the air and letting Coors Field do its work to take it out of the park. So it's not just a venue that is creating the boost in stats. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I know both Stevenson and Steer are batting 400 or 500 or something on this road trip. Outside of that, I would say I do like the fact that they cut back on trying to steal with 2 outs. Because as we always talk about, you do not run into the last out. And in fact, to prove that point, the last inning in tonight's game alone, they were down 7-6. They get 2 outs. They get a guy on first. Steer hits a home run. They go up 8-7. Then they ended up ultimately getting 6 straight guys on base. So you got bases loaded. India comes to the plate. Grand slam. They scored 6 runs. 6 with 2 outs. On top of that, throughout this whole series, I know for a fact they scored double-digit runs with 2 outs.
They have scored 22 of 29 runs with 2 outs in this series.
Okay. So my point exactly. Hey, coaches, you want to read stats? Read that one. Quit stealing, even if it's Ellie, when you got 2 outs. You don't know what's going to happen. You got a guy on base and 2 outs? Let the hitter do his job and see if we can make something of it. Don't give the other team a freebie to get out of the inning.
Well, I think that's what amuses me with coaches today. They want to play the analytics, so they do the left-handed batter against a right-handed pitcher more often than not. But they don't look at the analytics when it comes to, do I send a guy home from third base in a situation where there's 2 outs, it's late in the game, and we have a defender at third that is a very strong defender with a great arm? Or, you know, why would I run with 2 outs when I'm in Coors Field, and I've already had a runner or two thrown out or got caught stealing in the game. I know the catcher has a strong arm. Why don't I just, for once, play it a little more conservatively, look at the analytics around those situations, and allow my guys to hit the ball?
Yep. Yep. So the last good thing I'll mention is starting pitching has stayed the same consistent good starting pitching we've had. To be honest with you, I haven't really dug into the bullpen numbers from these series, but the starting pitching is there, and that certainly helps. And it helps when you're hitting the ball and you can give that pitcher a couple runs to work with. It kind of cuts the edge when they're out on the mound. At least it would for me. I'm not an MLB pitcher, so I don't know for sure, but if I had to guess, I would say that's the case. So, we did the good, now we're going to do the bad. From these series, what did you see that was bad?
Well, I think as the bad goes, I would still like to see the team do a better job of focusing on fundamental baseball. And when they do that, as evidenced by the series in Colorado, they tend to have more success. And when I say fundamental baseball, you know, let's swing for contact rather than swinging for the fence. We have a better chance of the bat meeting the ball. When we have two strikes on us, let's protect the plate instead of the typical swinging for the fence, a more compact swing that might benefit us more in a situation where we want to simply protect the plate. I'd like to see them not be so sloppy on the bases sometimes. You know, it seems like this season, not just this series, you know, guys are getting picked off. And that should not be happening with a degree of frequency that it's happening to the Cincinnati Reds. That's just mentally lazy.
Well, it happened again today, and I think it was Chris Welsh on the broadcast mentioned that fact. Like, they should not be getting picked off this much. Something's got to change. So, speaking of bad, I'll bring up my point here on this one. It got upgraded from ugly to bad because the last couple games, Ellie has hit the ball a bit better. But before that, it was ugly, and that is the strikeout rate. He is striking out way too much. In fact, two of the top three guys in the MLB at the plate with strikeouts right now are Ellie De La Cruz at one and Will Benson at three. That is not good. When you're on an 0-for-15 slide and you struck out nine times, something's got to change. Maybe it's time for the coach to step in. And I know I'm not crazy for saying this because it was mentioned on the broadcast. They said, you know, maybe Ellie's just pushing too hard. He's a young player. It's time to slide him down to the back of the lineup for a few games and just say, hey, son, just relax and do what you know how to do. But they keep putting him in the two hole because he's Ellie. Guess what? He's just Ellie De La Cruz. He's not God. At some point, the coach has to do something to help try to fix this problem. But again, it got upgraded from ugly to bad, in my opinion, because the last two games, he did make good contact and started hitting the ball better.
To your point, in the last six games, including today's, four of them, they had 12, 11, 10, and 10 strikeouts as a team.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not going to cut it. You're not going anywhere in the playoffs on that.
You know, I don't know that there's a whole lot else that's bad. I mean, the defense has played well. Sometimes I'd like to see the throws go to second base instead of home from the outfield when you don't have a chance of getting the guy because you're allowing the guy on first who had the single to move to second once you throw it home. But I don't see that as a significant problem or bad. Just some things that need to be cleaned up.
All right, I'm going to stick with bad, and it's going to be coaching decisions as it relates to situational awareness. So running into the final out, trying to steal a base in an inning, obviously bad, okay? We already talked about that. Then let's look at the getting the picked off. That's up to the coaches to kind of rein these guys in, say, hey, you got to stay a little bit closer to the base. I know we're aggressive, but this is getting out of hand. Going back to like last year when a left-hander pitches, we're taking our best leadoff hitter, who was top five in the MLB as a left-handed hitter against left-handed pitchers, and we're dropping him down to sixth or seventh in the lineup. That's a bad decision if it's me. He's the best one you got to be a true leadoff hitter. He can bunt, he can run, he can steal, he can hit, he can do it all, and that's TJ Friedl. I don't know why they're still dropping him in the lineup when it's a left-handed pitcher.
So are you saying the analytics would demonstrate that he does well against left-handed pitchers?
Yep.
So do analytics become a matter of convenience for coaches?
Sounds like it, but the other thing is pitching. When to and when not to pull starting pitchers. Okay, Ashcraft has gotten pulled early his last two starts. Today, he had two outs and a guy on first, and they got up to the leadoff hitter for the Rockies, and it would have started the third round through the batting order. And on that note, the Cubs game we attended delayed for 3 hours. Stopped raining. As soon as they started the game, started raining again and rained the majority of the game. Hunter Green pitched, and they let him keep pitching and run that pitch count up to over 100 pitches. And this was a softball game. If you're going to pull somebody early, why not pull somebody early in a game like that when it's a guy that's already had one Tommy John surgery and we've got the rain affecting the conditions, making it harder for Hunter to pitch, etc.? That's the situation you pull a pitcher early, not like you did today. Preserve his arm. He's already got one TJ. Don't mess it up over a rain game that you don't know if you're going to win or lose.
I think to your point, in the other five games, the most pitches that a pitcher was allowed to throw was 96. So that would give you a difference from the 111 that Hunter threw to the 96 of 15 pitches, which is on average one inning.
Well, I think the analytics are playing into this, and everyone's playing for right here, right now. They're not thinking about the future. They're not thinking about the future as in towards the end of the season, should we be in the hunt for a playoff spot? They're not thinking about long-term Hunter Green's career now that we have him signed for, what, 5 or 6 years? You know, you don't want to blow his arm out in a silly rain game that's already a softball match, and it's just a train wreck as it is.
But credit to Hunter. He kept us in the game.
Oh, 100%.
He did what he had to do in what I would call adverse circumstances with the rain that was coming down. We sat through it.
Other than that, I don't really see much bad. A lot of, obviously, it's a winning streak, right? We've taken 3 or 4 series, so it's mostly good. There's not much else bad, in my opinion. I don't know about you.
I would say that we have a lot to look forward to if the players can continue to play like they have. Now, we have to put this in context. We just played a Coors Field, so I don't know that the offense can be expected to perform at the level they have for the past 3 games over the next month or so. But I think what, to your point, I am seeing is that a lot of the players are making better contact, that, as you pointed out, Stevenson and Steer have been hitting line drives even when they're getting out. I believe it was Steer today that in his first at bat had an absolute rocket that should have been a single to left field, and the third baseman climbed a ladder and somehow snagged it. Otherwise, that would have been a base hit, just bad luck. I mean, it happens in baseball when you have that many at-bats over the course of a season. But I think if the offense can continue to swing for contact and not worry about getting home runs, and they can clean up the base running, pitching continues to do what they've been doing, both starting pitching and the relief core, and defense has been solid, I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Yep. All right. Well, we got to pick one ugly. My ugly is the amount of errors Candelario's been having recently on defense. We got a lot to look forward to. I think they finally turned the corner. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. They've turned a corner, and I'm excited about the Cubs series coming up.
Well, we got the Cubs, then we got the Guardians, then the Brewers, then the Pirates. We got a lot of divisional matchups. I think if they keep this winning streak up and win the series against the Cubs and Brewers and Pirates, I think we got a shot at getting back in contention, at least for a wild card spot. We're only 2 or 3 games back right now. We're 9 games out of first for the division, but that's going to be a big deal. So hopefully they can keep it up, and we may have ourselves a little playoff race going on. Or let me rephrase that. We may have ourselves a team that is back in the hunt for a playoff spot.
That would be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you for joining this Extra Innings episode. Sticks are coming around, starting pitching, staying consistent. And it seems like we're correcting that problem where we try to steal when there's two outs. So bravo, boys. Keep up the good work. You're turning it around from a rough start. We'll see y'all later.